Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, a further delay to the new National Maternity Hospital. We'll speak to one of the government TDs who implored ministers not to go ahead with it. Pandemonium, the authors of an explosive new book about the handling of COVID-19 in Ireland, will join us on the programme. Retrofitting should make your home warmer and cheaper to run while reducing the impact on the environment. But two experts explain today why the results might not meet our expectations. And with a shortage of HRT causing huge difficulties for women, expert Dr. Deirdre Lundy will have advice on the menopause and what to do if you can't get your treatment. So do text us this morning on 51551. Email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Now, government yesterday decided to delay its approval for the new National Maternity Hospital on the St. Vincent site after some cabinet members raised concerns about its clinical and operational independence. But the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, has this morning insisted that he can 100% guarantee that every service provided for by law will be available at that new hospital. Now, Green Party TD Nasa Harrigan was one of the coalition backbenchers who wrote to their ministers to implore them to stall the proposal. She's also the party's health spokesperson and a member of the Oireachtas Health Committee, which will be looking at this issue in the next 2 weeks. And Deputy Harrigan joins me on the line now. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme today. This letter that you wrote to the Green Party ministers that you signed, explain to us and talk us through why you wanted the sign-off to be delayed.
Well, as we saw last night, the documentation was published, and obviously we hadn't had a chance to see that beforehand. So I think that there is a need for transparency. This is a huge decision. It's going to affect women for generations. Most hospitals have a life, you know, well beyond 100 years. And in that context, it was incredibly important that this gets full public scrutiny and it would go to the Health Committee. And just to say, what we have seen from the documents last night, I think we still have questions. You know, it's not entirely clear to me that the rights of people who seek terminations or other types of care like IVF would be fully vindicated under this current arrangement.
And what's in the documents that you saw last night to raise concerns for you?
Well, language like, you know, clinically appropriate and legally permissible, that's in the document. And that would imply that the onus is fully on, you know, clinical decision making. What I see as, you know, a member of the Health Committee, as you say, I'm also on the Disability Matters Committee, and we are definitely moving to a more rights-based approach to healthcare and service provision. And it's absolutely important that, you know, clinical experts are within the decision-making of a hospital. But it's also important that that sits within the context of the rights of the patients to access care. And I have to say, like, you know, we're hearing this morning of a kind of a guarantee that all services could be accessed through the hospital, but I don't think that's enough. What we would need from our national maternity hospital is, in fact, that it would be a centre of excellence for terminations and for abortion care, because what we learned during repeal is that those services are part of maternity care, and that every person who is accessing services, you know, needs to have access to them. It's often you know, those very complex, tragic cases that you will find in maternity hospitals. So I think that it's incredibly important that it becomes a centre of excellence. And certainly at the Health Committee last week, we heard from the Irish Family Planning Association. They had an excellent suggestion, which is that there should be a professorship. There should be a centre of excellence within the National Maternity Hospital on termination and abortion care.
So if the words clinically appropriate were removed, would that go some way to assuaging your fears?
It's not the removal of the word clinically appropriate. It's the addition of a rights-based approach to access healthcare. And, you know, I take the minister's assurances seriously. I think that they are given in good faith. But ultimately, we have 8 maternity hospitals in this country who don't provide termination services right now. And therefore, you know, I think the women of Ireland have learned to be quite cynical, maybe, and careful about the assurances of people in power that services will be provided, because we know that that's often not the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Minister Donnelly, as I said at the beginning, was on Morning Ireland and he was asked about the procedures that will be offered at this new maternity hospital. Let's just have a listen back to what he said. He was speaking to Gavin Jennings.
Can you guarantee that a woman will be able to get an abortion, for example, in the new National Maternity Hospital in any circumstances allowed under Irish law?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Can you guarantee that a woman will be able to get a tubal ligation or a sterilisation procedure in any circumstances under Irish law by her choice rather than by clinical need?
Yes, 100%. Termination of pregnancy, tubal ligation, gender-affirming surgery, assisted reproduction, every service that is provided for under law will be available in the National Maternity Hospital.
So that's the minister saying that. Then Dr. Rona Mahoney, former Master of Holles Street and also consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist and a board member of St. Vincent's Hospital Group, last night said every procedure that's permissible under Irish law will be performed at the new maternity hospital on St. Vincent's campus. Do you not accept that, Nasa Harrigan?
Well, what I don't accept is that that language is in the agreement. And it's great that the minister would say that. And I also am glad for him, you know, to point out the fact that he has a kind of a golden share, as he describes it, on the board. But ultimately, there could be other ministers who are anti-choice in the future. And none of those assurances actually are contained within the agreement. So, you know, in 90 years and 50 years, the words need to be on the page that vindicates the rights of people who want to access all those services.
Just listen to what you're saying and listening to the assurances that have been given. It just sounds like there's a complete lack of trust here between those who accept what the minister is saying and those like yourself who are really wary about what the future might hold and what women might not be entitled to in this hospital.
Well, I just think that, like, women in Ireland who have, and I, you know, I have had three kids and I have gone through that whole process in maternity hospitals and received excellent care. But I think people in Ireland generally know that institutions can choose how to operate in a multitude of ways. They don't have to necessarily state that they won't provide services. They can do that by not allocating space to services or by not staffing services or by not giving funding to services or giving the kind of focus that they would require. The National Maternity Hospital should be a centre of excellence for abortion care. It shouldn't just be that if you wanted it, you could have it. It has to be the experts here. And I'm not confident, based on what was published last night, that will be the case.
I'm just wondering where this goes from here, because there seems to be an expectation from the minister that this is going to go ahead after 2 weeks. He spoke about this delay being another very important step. The current master of the National Maternity Hospital said he's confident that in 2 weeks' time, Cabinet will approve the legal framework. Are you?
Well, I think that remains to be seen, because the point of bringing it to the Health Committee is that you have lots of eyes on a document that we haven't been able to see up until now, and that we can fully ventilate all of the issues that are of concern. It's not just the religious ethos part of it. I mean, this is going to be a state-owned building sitting on a campus that is not state-owned, and issues around kind of campus management and access are very important. Also, the presence of, for example, privately funded or privately owned suites and care within the National Maternity Hospital. That issue needs to be more fully understood by the Health Committee. So I think that, look, in my short time as a politician, I've become very well acquainted with that tactic of saying, let's not delay. Here's choice number one, which isn't great, but choice number two is just that it won't happen at all. I'm wary of that as a tactic to kind of push you in any particular direction. This is a really important decision that we have to get right.
I suppose what I'm getting at here is, it would seem to me, listening to what you're saying and the concerns that you've outlined, that 2 weeks just won't be enough to sort all of this out.
As I said, I think that remains to be seen. And I think if they can answer the questions that will come before them at the Health Committee, then maybe we can move forward. But just what was published last night doesn't put to bed some of the very serious questions that are out there.
And the minister saying that this conversation about who owns the land, and you raised that yourself, he says that's a red herring. You don't see it that way.
Well, who owns the water pipe that goes into that land? Who owns the access roads? Who owns the energy infrastructure? If you control a campus, if you control a site as a landlord, you control a huge amount. So I don't think any of us would be building our houses on land that we didn't own. We'd be quite careful about that. So I don't think we can dismiss that.
Mm-hmm. But it all comes down to what's in the lease agreement, doesn't it? What's said in that agreement?
It absolutely does. And that's why we need, you know, it before the Health Committee so that we can scrutinise it in detail. And I'm sure, you know, the members of the Health Committee are well able to do that and go and do a deep dive on all of these issues, because this is, you know, an incredibly complex situation we've gotten ourselves into now. It's much more complex than if we simply had the land ourselves and the state owned it. So, you know, it is worth scrutinising it in detail.
And Stephen Donnelly said, when he was asked about this on Morning Ireland, the Vatican has nothing to do with the ownership of the land, whether they had to approve the transfer or not. The share transfer has happened. It doesn't matter who owns the land. It matters who owns and controls the hospitals, the hospital, and there are multiple layers of protection for that in the legal framework. What do you say to that?
I think it matters to the people of Ireland who controls the land. I think we know we've come through, you know, the Magdalen laundries. We've come through the issue of repeal. It matters a great deal to us who actually provides the services of the state and who influences decisions in those buildings and who has control over them ultimately.
He seems to suggest that it doesn't matter whether the Vatican had to approve the transfer of the land or not. Do you agree with that?
It might not matter to the minister, but I think it matters to the people who will be accessing care in that hospital.
Okay. And he says that now that that has happened, that the share transfer has happened, it doesn't matter who owns the land. Not so, you say?
I think if you have three or I think it's three board members now. I know originally it was four. There's a reason for that. I think if St. Vincent's Holdings continue to have those board seats, I think if they continue to pursue this agreement in the way that it's currently set out, there's obviously a benefit to them. All of those things, you know, feed into the governance of a building and of a campus. And that is meaningful. There is a reason this private company considers this to be a good deal for them. And that is a valid concern. And it's one that the Health Committee has every right to scrutinise.
The Labour Party leader, Ivana Bacik, on Morning Ireland this morning raised this option of a compulsory purchase order for the land. Should that be pursued?
Well, just to say, we don't need a compulsory purchase order because St. Vincent's could simply transfer the land to the state. There's not actually nothing stopping them doing that this week. There's nothing stopping them relinquishing their board seats this week. There doesn't have to be delay. There's a delay because St. Vincent's want things a certain way and the state is allowing that to go forward. So we don't actually need a CPO. CPOs take quite a long time and I don't think anybody wants a delay, but I also don't want to weaponise the threat of a delay so that we make a bad decision.
But we are going to have a delay now. We have a delay.
Well, this project has been on the books since 2013. So it is definitely delayed. But, you know, what often happens, and I have seen it play out a number of times in just the last 3 years, is that a decision is allowed to run until the very last moment. And then the idea of delay is held over your head so that you have to make a less than good decision on the hoof. And that's simply not good enough. Not for a hospital that will treat generations of women in this country.
Mm-hmm. At what point do you think the government needs to abandon this plan for this site, this agreement? Just walk away, start from scratch again?
That wouldn't be my favourite option. I think that there's no particular reason why we would need to do that. And certainly I'm not proposing that we would walk away. We've seen with the National Children's Hospital that moving around a site actually can add a significant amount of time to the design process and it's not desirable. These are governance issues.
Yeah, I don't see what other option is available, because you're saying Vincent's could hand over the site to the state. That's probably not going to happen now, given that it's taken years to get where we are now. If we go down the compulsory purchase route, that's also going to take a period of time. So would it not make more sense just to say the only way to sort this out is to build a hospital owned by the state on state land in another place?
Look, I suppose that's why we need to sit down and go through all of the agreements. Certainly, I don't think the St. Vincent site is a dead duck in any way. I don't think it's something that we have to repudiate. I think that there is an answer to be salvaged here. But what was published last night simply doesn't answer all of the questions that people who have been scrutinising this issue so far have. And it's really important that we do get this right. Mm-hmm. A CPO may add time onto the decision process and onto the building process. But as I said, there is a benefit to St. Vincent's to have this hospital on their site. They're well aware of it, which is why they have continued to be in negotiation with the government on this issue. Their ownership of the land is not actually the win for them. It's the presence of the centre of excellence on the site. And so, therefore, it would be in their interest to simply sign over the land or sell the land to the state.
OK. And how strongly do you feel about this? So if in 2 weeks' time ministers say, yeah, we're happy now, we have all of the answers and we sign off in 2 weeks' time and the building project goes ahead, but you're still not satisfied with the answers, NASA, I mean, would you resign your party whip over the issue? How far would you go?
Well, you resign a party whip when there is a vote in the Dáil, and as far as I'm aware, it won't come to a vote. It'll be at Cabinet. It is an incredibly serious issue. I don't want to preempt the process, but I think this goes to the core of, you know, why a lot of people joined the Green Party, certainly. We had a big influx at the time of repeal, and we do consider ourselves to be a progressive left party. And there's just simply, you know, good state governance here, which is you own the things that you pay for. Mm-hmm. So I think it can't get more important for the government to get this right.
For the Green Party, from what you're saying, to get this right, I think you've, from what you're saying, you feel you owe it to the people who supported you in the last election. Is that what you're saying?
I think that this would be something that people who voted for me are very concerned about, and I would expect that they, you know, that this would be at the heart of issues that they would like the Green Party to take action on at Cabinet. You know, that they would expect the Green Party to be the ones to say, no, look, let's get this right.
Clearly, your ministers at Cabinet know this because they took that letter that you signed very, very seriously yesterday.
I think they do know it, and I think that they are taking it seriously. I think that, like, unfortunately, there hasn't been a huge amount of information available around what the agreements are. And so now we need to take these few weeks and really go in detail into those agreements and see, you know, is it a version of governance that can give you that guarantee? So far, I my reading of it is not.
OK. NASA Harrigan, thank you for talking to us this morning. NASA Harrigan is a Green Party TD. We're going to find out what's been happening in Ukraine overnight. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.